RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Shope. Bulldog is off through New Year's Day. It's typical for it to be this way, where I work these final days of the year, and then Bulldog comes back after having been off. And one thing I think I want to say I usually like about this week of shows is that there's always a bowl game on. But man, it's December. This is going to be old man moment here. It's December 29th, so pretty close to New Year's, right? Georgia Southern, Appalachian State is the best they can do for me. And not like either of these teams is good either. 6-6 versus 5-7. What, Delaware State wasn't available? December 29th, I want to be to like Georgia Tech, maybe, by or Arizona. Not a power. Maybe a power on a bad year, although they might get a night game. Sad. Eric Wood on the West Her Hotline. Eric, did you play one bowl game, right? The Orange Bowl. Did you play in the Orange Bowl for Louisville?
Yeah, I played in the Orange Bowl. I played in the Gator Bowl. I was on the Liberty Bowl team. I'm with you, though. And with this expanded college football playoff, teams not going, I thought you had to have at least a 500 record to make a bowl game. And so now we're putting 5-7 teams in now. And, yeah, college football is a mess right now. And, you know, every year, you know, I'll get asked to go on college football shows and whatnot just because I've covered college football with ESPN for a couple of years, Fox for one, and I'll have to admit to them prior, like, hey, I am not caught up on college football. It's getting harder and harder for me to watch and follow it year to year.
I mean, 5-7 record, sure, but it is Appalachian State, Eric. I mean, when you can get a national power in for your Birmingham Bowl and fill the house, so you got to do it. I mean,
Hey, they beat Michigan that one year.
They did. They did. And they're still living off it, apparently. All right. Well, I agree, by the way. And I don't know how you feel about these teams that beg off bowl games. Maybe that's why a 5-17 gets one. But while I respect and I want to support what this all has meant for the players, I can't keep up either. I mean, was there really more consistency than I want? I don't know. Like, coaches move around all the time too. I felt like I had something that was pretty much what I expected when I turned it on with the college game, and now it's the Wild West, and I don't know what to do with it because I want to like it. I want to be watching a bowl game right now, and I am. So there it is. I'm watching 26-7. If anybody's wondering the score of this game as we speak here. Georgia Southern in the lead in the third quarter. Okay. Yesterday, Eric, the rain. Interesting stakes for this game. I mean, two Titan teams, and the Eagles and the Bills. And how physical did this game look? Was this the kind of game, seeing Allen get hit like he did, and then the Bills' defense in the second half especially, did that stand out to you about yesterday?
Yeah, it seemed chippier than a team that's supposed to play, what, every 4 years. I know we played them a couple years ago, or we played them in 2023. And based upon, you know, now playing that 17th game, I guess we'll play the Eagles and other NFC opponents more often. But yeah, it was pretty chippy out there, that's for sure. It started with the special teams plays, and then, you know, it was chippy throughout this game. It was hard hitting. It was physical, and they were going at it out there. And you know, both teams tried to establish the run throughout the game, neither that successfully. But both, you know, especially with the rain, wanted to play a physical brand of ball. And, yeah, I'm with you. It was a physical game out there.
Eric, it's been a long time. Maybe this is by being spoiled, but it's been a long time since the Bills have had sort of a complete, really good day. Four quarters. Even Pittsburgh, where they ended up pulling away. They had 3 points at halftime. I don't know. Maybe you just want to bring yourself to get past this as the playoffs come around, but it's not the greatest feeling in terms of confidence and faith in this team when even Cleveland, we didn't speak you and I last week, trailing at home to Tampa and Cincinnati in the fourth quarter. This is another one yesterday where, how long were we into the game before the Bills even scored at all? Well into the fourth quarter. It's not the kind of form, I guess, I'd want to see them be in.
No, I'm with you. And we keep thinking, okay, now it's going to start clicking, and now it's going to start clicking. And, you know, it's a culmination of everything. Yes, the mistakes on offense left them scoreless yesterday, but really they didn't have great drive starts either. It wasn't like the defense forced a turnover to kind of jumpstart things, a big special teams play. We were consistently losing the special teams or the field position battle again yesterday. And, you know, it's just, we're struggling at times to finish off drives, to score points. And then, you know, defensively in the games that we can't, you know, make those disruptive plays, we're not necessarily setting this team up with great field position when teams punt the ball away. Shakir did have the nice return yesterday. That was, you know, his best return of the season. But other than that, you don't really have a feared punt returner back there. All that being said, you just keep waiting for them to put it together. Okay, now the defense is playing better. Here we go. This is going to be one of those signature Bills games that we've gotten so accustomed to. I mean, this Bills team over the last 5-6 years has the biggest point differential margin in the NFL by a wide margin. And that's because they haven't had so many games where it clicked on both sides of the ball. And we just have not had, I guess, maybe Carolina's the last time that we could say that this year. And we played a backup quarterback in Andy Dalton. Now that Carolina team looks better now than that win maybe even did at the time. But yeah, there's concerns. You know, it just seems like there's the little mistakes, whether it's the Josh Allen fumble, the bad decision on the sack, you know, the missed shot down the field to Cooks, which I'm glad he took. You take those shots, try and get on the same page with him, see if he can be an impact player down the field. But just enough things happen where you shoot yourself in the foot and you're just not quite good enough to overcome those right now. And you don't really have that, you know, kind of go-to guy on the outside. And, you know, whether it's Josh's foot or whatever, not making plays on the scramble drill yesterday that, you know, kind of have become a cheat code over the years on those third and long plays where maybe we had a holding penalty that in the past we could overcome, and we're just not overcoming them consistently right now.
Mm-hmm. Eric, Allen is taking so many hits. This is not new to yesterday or exclusive to yesterday. 14 sacks last year, 40 this year so far. I try not to, you know, make any effort to get in his head, and I want everybody listening to know that. Like, I'm not trying to think like he might be thinking or whatever, but at the same time, I think we're maybe all wondering how much pressure he's feeling, or even like physically, or just what he thinks of this point that we're making in here constantly about their lack of, you know, quality weapons. Whatever it is, you have a game like yesterday where he doesn't see Cooks open on that fourth down, gets hit short. Then, of course, quintessentially the last play of the game. Do you want to offer a theory? Is there one worth, you know, taking seriously here? Try to predict maybe where his head is at.
You know, to me, I think he's embraced it this year playing, you know, the brand of ball they're going to play. You know, they rush the ball 50% of the time. They run a lot of play action now, and that's kind of their recipe for success with the way this roster is built with the heavy personnel. And, you know, the passing numbers go down. Our yards per play goes down dramatically without Dalton Kincaid on the field. Our points per game on the season goes down 7 points without Dalton Kincaid on the field. And it just goes to show you how this team's built that a tight end can make that big of a difference. And he's missed enough games where it's not like, hey, you know, he missed two games and, you know, there's your anomaly. You know, it's been consistent enough that you can look into those types of numbers. And so, you know, to me, it seems like when it's time to turn it on and put the cape on, he's generally brought us back in those games at the end and done more with his legs. And we're trying not to rely on him doing as much until we need it. And maybe in the playoffs, it's let him loose. And here we go. It's Josh Allen time. But, you know, I would say mentally he seems to be fine because we see him show up in these big moments. And we had a four-game win streak and all that. But, you know, I think at times you could see the frustration on his face that it's just not clicking like we assumed it would be at this time of the year.
James Cook leads the league in rushing. That's pretty good. I'm thinking about that. It's very similar to last year, Eric, where you could play for a seeding in week 18, but it wasn't the highest of stakes. Last year, we saw Allen come out after one play in New England. Cook gets back in the game for the touchdown he needed for a record. Would you play it similarly this week? And does the fact that it's the end of the stadium have any part in what your strategy would be?
No, I mean, I'm obviously going out there to play to win, but I'm playing to win without Josh Allen, and I'm playing to win without James Cook and a number of other guys that I can get out. I mean, just based upon the number of guys you can have active on game day and the 53-man roster, you know, you can only have so many guys fit for this one. You got practice squad elevations and whatnot, but, you know, I'm taking out a number of key guys. I'm probably have Ryan Vandermark and Alec Anderson out there on the line, maybe even Van Pran Granger or whoever else. James Cook's out. Josh Allen's out. Defensively, Christian Benford. I don't know who else. You know, defensively, maybe Bosa, whoever that may be on the back end of the defense, front end. But you're getting as many guys as you can out of this one, and then you go say, look, let's go out and win. If we lose, we're the seven seed. If we win, you know, you got the Chargers are a pretty big underdog at Denver. Houston's playing the Colts. They probably win, but you get that sixth seed. Then you go to Jacksonville, and there's some that would say, hey, send us to the AFC North site, and, you know, hopefully we can get the five seed. Yeah, that's great, but we need a couple things to happen in our favor for that to happen. So it looks like if we could take care of business against the Jets, I think we're like an 8.5-point favorite, which it's interesting. I looked today to see if there was going to be a spread on it because no one knows the strategy yet, and that's going to make a dramatic difference in the point spread. But all that being said, you're likely going to have to go to Jacksonville week one if it plays out the way the point spreads are sitting right now. And these are pretty significant point spreads that would say that we're likely heading to Jacksonville in week one of the playoffs. And you want to be as healthy as you possibly can and preserve as many guys as you can and get ready for that. And then you put guys out there. And yes, it's the final game at Highmark, and, you know, you might not have all your guys out there, but it's still going to be a very ceremonial and special day for a stadium that, I mean, even personally, I just have so many memories in. I brought my family up to the game last weekend. It worked out better because Christmas break ends this upcoming Monday. So especially now that it's a 4:25 kick, it's either skip the first day after 2 weeks off of school or keep them up all night traveling home. And, That's not going to be a recipe for success. And I say all that, it was very special. Even in the rain, we went down the field and took a picture one last time in there as a family. And so it'll be a special day Sunday. It just might not be the product on the field that we saw from a competitiveness standpoint that we saw this past week against the Eagles.
Mm-hmm. While you're on that point, this train of thought about the stadium, it really is an unfortunate way to have played out. Because it's not the end of their season. If you miss the playoffs, even for a team like this, as shocked as we would have been overall, still, you know, you have your party, right? I mean, that's win or lose. Your guys are playing, and like some of those drought seasons, Kyle Williams, I'm thinking of, like, there's no two ways about it. Like, you're celebrating the end of the era. Not here so much. I mean, you will. You can. But fans are going to be focused on the playoffs. Of course, the players, too, this point about resting guys as well. And not the shock, Eric, but the surprise of not having a home playoff game, at least probably, really does take some of the luster off it. I think it'll be an interesting day emotionally for fans because you're still thinking more about how the season is going to end and whether they can win. But you're not going to be able to have that all come to fruition when you're at the stadium with, you know, for the last time.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's unfortunate that it's played out like this. I'm with you 100% because, you know, even if you get the sixth seed, then there's still a chance there's still a chance that you get one more game. If you get the 5 seed, even a little bit better of a chance that you get one more game at Highmark. Just the chances of that are going to be pretty unlikely. So, yeah, I'm with you on that. I think the expectations, and certainly the expectations were different heading into the season, and then even through that first quarter of the season where we started 4-0.
With Eric Wood here on the Wester Hotline, I'm Mike Shope. It is Football Monday on WGR. I liked your point about checking the spread to see, like, if the line is up and, you know, what that might signify. I think if, because I do the same thing, I think if I were to expect Allen and the starters to play, like, full out as if they really wanted to win this game, top priority, the line would be double what it is. 7.5, 8 for the Jets at home. Look at what just happened to them against New England. I talked myself into the Jets yesterday, Eric. And I've done that many times, hardly ever successfully. But, you know, all the stuff, the second game in a division series at home, short week for New England, kind of. I just saw, you know, a quarterback trying to win a job, a coach maybe trying to save one. Thought it would, I'd get at least a game that wasn't over by 1:30, I guess. But, I mean, how about that?
Yeah, that was a blowout. There was not a whole lot of suspense there. And then now you have another backup quarterback traveling up to New England this week. And we've seen the Dolphins' numbers under Mike McDaniels when they play in the cold. But generally that's been Tua. So maybe it's different with Ewers playing at quarterback. But my confidence in winning the division with those two games coming down the pipe for New England was not very high. And Miami has been competitive and they've played a lot better. But I just don't trust them going up to New England in that situation.
Although, if you talk to Fitz this week, he might remind you of the time his team, his Miami team, did go there and beat Brady last week of the season when New England needed it and Miami took him. So I don't know if that means anything here, but it at least happened not that long ago.
And that was when Brady didn't shake Fitz's hand after the game. And
okay,
Fitz is still pretty bitter about that. If you ever get him on here, mention it.
I didn't see Allen shake hands yesterday.
I mentioned that on the post game, and he was a quick runoff. And look, Josh Allen is all class, and he always has been. And I understand in that moment that you're not looking to go out and exchange pleasantries when there's none that are going to come out of your mouth. I've been in that situation, and you're ready to get back to the tunnel. And then, you know, Josh has got to do his press conference and all that. You know, I would have time to go get in the cold tub, shower, do my media appearance in the locker room. Tougher situation when you got to go face the music at the podium, probably looking to go cool down a little bit. You could see it all over his face how upset he was after that throw.
A few minutes left with Eric Wood. These possible playoff opponents, the Jags maybe first. You laid it out. I think it's most likely that the Bills will go to Jacksonville. Not a sure thing, but maybe New England, Houston, Denver, or the others even. How do they line up for you? Is one of these teams, maybe we start with the Jaguars here as the most likely opponent, like a good or a bad matchup? New England having played them twice is a thing to factor into any analysis there. The Bills have seen the AFC North teams and the Texans. I don't know. What should we be rooting for?
I don't know. And it's hard to say because, you know, is Trevor Lawrence going to be able to show up in the playoffs like he's been showing up recently?
RingCentral will completely transform the way you work. It gives you built-in AI across all your business conversations. Your phone system has an AI receptionist that answers calls 24/7. Your video meetings have AI that takes notes instantly. Even your contact center has AI, so you can help customers faster. It all comes together in one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
He hasn't proved that in the past. You got a bunch of young guys, and then you got either Aaron Rodgers or a Scoop Huntley or a dinged up Lamar Jackson. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how all this shakes out. I mean, I was debating this with Joe Marino on my Center on Buffalo podcast last week. It's you could talk yourself into, you know, which matchup you think is worse for the Bills, but I mean, they're probably favored against all of them, which is interesting. And, you know, because you got Josh Allen and the defense has been playing better, and you just assume this offense starts clicking, and you got James Cook. You have a good offensive line despite a, you know, up and down performance yesterday against the Eagles. And so, you know, Jacksonville, probably maybe the most complete team of the three that we could go against, just based upon they're good on both sides of the ball, but maybe not as dominant of one side of the ball as a Houston, I'll say.
Mm-hmm. You're thinking Jacksonville, New England, and Denver as the three teams? I mean, the AFC North is still possible, but is that how you're looking at it? Like, those are the three likeliest opponents? Okay.
Yeah, that's how I'm looking. And you go to Denver, you go to the elevation, they got a good pass rush. You know, to me, they're a team that they're similar to the Chiefs last year, where they find a way to get it done. 11-1 score wins on the season, and they find a way to get it done, and they got a good defense. And then when you look, you know, New England probably doesn't scare me the most of all of them, even though Drake May, of all those quarterbacks, is probably playing at the highest level.
Mm-hmm. Did you see the Cody Ford play yesterday?
I did, and, you know, just saw all the social media posts comparing his stats to Josh Palmer's yesterday.
Oh, no. That. I'm glad I missed that, I guess. But, yes, really? Yep. One catch?
One catch for 21 yards. Looked pretty athletic. I mean, good on him. You know, good on, I guess, you know, Joe Burrow said he wanted to start having some fun in Cincinnati. And so Zach Taylor designs a play for a backup O-lineman.
Yeah, who knew that was in the bag for Cody Ford? The former Bill lines up out to the right and catches a pass, makes a move. You know, the poor DB, what do you even do with that? Just try to cut him down or something? I don't know. But Ford kind of runs around him up the sideline, you know, like a tight end or somebody. So I didn't know he had that play, but kind of cool.
I know. We always used to joke as offensive linemen, like, we dive on fumbles, we bat down passes that come to us, because as athletic as we think we are, as many times we've seen Dan Connolly run down on that kickoff return for the Patriots all the way down to the 5-yard line, we are sitting ducks out there, and we are not as athletic as we think, and we are going to get crushed running with the football. We are a big, fat, slow target for these defenders. So good on Cody Ford for making a little move out there.
Eric, I'll let you go. By the way, 2 p.m. tomorrow, Louisiana Tech versus Coastal. It's the bowl season. Creeps closer to the New Year's festivities. Wow, amazing. Who's even Coastal? Is that Coastal Carolina? Is Coastal?
Carolina, they got a new head coach. His name's Ryan Beard. He used to be at the University of Louisville under the Petrino staff. So I will be following Coastal a little bit next year because decent buddies with him. So, but he just got there, so I don't know how much influence he'll have. But, yeah, to your point about the college bowl games, it's getting harder and harder for me to find any interest in these games. And I was even looking at the playoff games, and I want to see Alabama versus Indiana. Like, is Indiana, they're the number one team in the dance. Like, okay, well, now you got the perennial power in Alabama. Like, I'm excited to see that one on New Year's Day.
I like that too. I'd be rooting for them. Same with beating Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. Just like, all right, Indiana, really? And so here is a chance for you to prove you belong there. Very good. Eric, thanks for today. Happy New Year, and we will talk Wild Card Weekend next Monday.
Sounds good. Happy New Year, brother.
Thanks. Eric Wood on the West Hur Hotline. The Bills do have their regular season finale still to come against the Jets Sunday at 4:25, which happens to be the time right now. Eric's appearance on WGR, as always, brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com, and by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop at northtownkia.com. Let's hear from you next, 803-0550. I've got Sal lined up for 5 o'clock. The latest on injuries, maybe something official on the release of Michael Badgley. That happened today. Maybe we'll find out if Matt Prater is back or just what the Bills plan on doing. I assume they'll have a kicker this week. Although, it'd be cool if they didn't, right? Not the most important game. See what it looks like. Sal Capaccio at 5. Your call's next as we continue on Football Monday. I'm Mike Shope. This is WGR.
RingCentral's AI receptionist uses voice AI to answer on the first ring, so you'll never miss a call again. In just a few minutes, you can personalize your own AI receptionist to answer questions, route calls, schedule appointments, and even send texts in multiple languages. Plus, it's easy to scale. Create unlimited AI receptionists across any phone system. It's all powered by one reliable platform for effortless AI communications. See for yourself at ringcentral.com. RingCentral, voice of your business.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.